have is from Davinia. She would be speaking about the first 6 months as a new leader in B2B marketing role. She is the B2B marketing leader, speaker, and senior marketing manager at Backbase. So I would share the screen for Davinia. And Davinia, whenever you're ready, do let me know.
Great. Thank you so much, Debarati. Can you hear me okay here?
Yes, I can.
Great. All right. So good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for joining this session. I'm really excited and very privileged to be here today. I know you've been bombarded by a ton of webinars in the past few months, and the fact that you've made time to be here today, I want to make sure you get some good takeaways. So in the next 15 minutes, I'm going to talk about how you can hit the ground running and make an impact in your first 180 days as a B2B marketer. When I was thinking of a topic, I really wanted to bring the best of both worlds for you, career strategy and B2B marketing. Because if you look around, very few marketers talk openly about how do I bring it all together to be an effective B2B marketer, especially during the first 180 days. And it's a real frustration for myself personally, because you either hear very high level career principles on 30, 60, 90 days, or the other extreme of a very narrow area of marketing, like how to increase your click-through rates, how to 10x your traffic, and all of that. And I believe for marketing, especially when you're starting a new role, in many ways, you're like a startup. You're trying to build a brand, you're growing the business, and you're constantly thinking of how can I do things better? And of course, you're going to make mistakes along the way. I don't think any of us started our roles having it all figured out, and I'm still learning as well. So my hope is that in sharing my mistakes, my stories, and some practical tips, that you as a fellow B2B marketer will feel encouraged and do a much better job than I did when I first started. Before I begin, I wanted to do a quick poll. Debarati, in the next slide, and I don't know if the folks on the call can do this, you know, type A in the chat if you're about to start a new role as a B2B marketer. Type B in the chat if you're already in B2B marketing and aspiring for a leadership role. And type C in the chat if you're just here along for the ride and you want to network and learn more. It'll give me a good sense of, you know, where everyone is at. Okay, so I see some C's, B's, B's and C's. Great, thank you guys. So, okay, let's dive into the topic. The first 15 minutes, I'm going to talk about three common traps, three guiding rules, three marketing approaches, which are great reminders that you can use in your day-to-day work as well. Then for the remaining 15 minutes, I'll try to be as fast as I can. We'll do Q&A and I'll answer some questions that you've sent to me in advance. So let's get into the three common traps. In the first few weeks of any role, it will be information overload. Just like any onboarding, you're going to be inundated with training sessions, meetings and calls, and people practically across the entire organization. And you're going to get lots of requests from each person in the meeting. They'll have an opinion on what marketing should or should not do, and they may even start throwing some work to you. So it's really important that after all these meetings, before you do anything else, develop a game plan to help you stay focused. Because if you're taking on too many additional requests in the first few months, you can always go back to the game plan and explain to your stakeholders, these are the key areas we agreed to focus on. This is how we're going to deliver them. And this is the budget that's been set. If you want more, I can't clone myself and the team. You need to give resources, or we need another conversation about priorities. And I say this, you know, out of love for my fellow B2B marketers, because I've made this mistake myself. It's one thing to be flexible and adaptable, but once you start saying yes one too many times, you will get overwhelmed and the work you deliver will be diluted and you end up pleasing no one. Let me tell you a story from my past role. I have a friend in the line here, so he or she will know what I'm talking about. I had a regional CMO who only wanted to see video stories, video interviews, out-of-home ads at airports, brand-related activities. And if I invested time or budget in trade shows, booths, webinars, or email marketing, she didn't consider it strategic. She would tell me, Davinia, don't spend too much time on that. Now, the problem I had was every quarter I had to report my numbers and performance to the global CMO, who wants to see these performance measures, who wants to see marketing sourced and influence opportunities, and considered videos and branding as non-strategic and delivering very little ROI. So you can imagine how stuck I felt. So what do you do? The mistake I made was I tried to do it all. I'm a people pleaser and I wasn't careful about picking and choosing activities that would play to my strengths. So I ended up working really long hours, and even though the deliverables were there, I spread myself too thin, and that gets reflected in the perception of your senior stakeholders as well. So to make sure I don't lose focus, I always refer to my game plan on a weekly basis. A tip I would have for you is to start at the start of a month, list out your top three achievements that you want to tell your management as part of the agreed game plan, and commit to sending those updates. You will start to see a shift in the way you deliver your work. For me, I can confidently say that apart from the tactical physical events this year because of COVID-19, there was no deviation from the overall strategic initiatives that were planned since December 2019. And despite the pandemic, the team and I managed to maintain a healthy monthly lead average consistently for 6 months straight. We had good conversions rate. We managed to grow our share of voice. We had access to high quality decision makers, and we made some good RFP introductions. Moving to the second trap, and Deborati, you can go back to the previous slide. You can easily find yourself doing all the work, but not producing the deliverables that are perceived as valuable to your direct manager, your sales leaders, and your CEO. So you really need to have weekly, even daily conversations if you can with your stakeholders on what matters to them and aligning your marketing efforts. Sometimes it requires a bit of education on your part to them, but their honest feedback is really important. The last thing you want to do is to be in this bubble saying, oh, everything's going great, my marketing is great, when the reality is your sales leaders are not really happy with the results. So try as quickly as possible in the first 180 days to build a relationship with your direct manager and sales where they feel they can give you direct, honest, and even harsh feedbacks. So don't take it personally, don't be defensive. And the third trap is failing to ask for help. Sometimes we put unnecessary pressure on ourselves to have all the answers. And the reality is we don't have the answers. And it's important to speak to different people outside of sales because you never know where those solutions are going to come from. If I give an example, I was speaking to someone outside of sales because I was stuck on a particular area and I wasn't sure for that market. And through talking it out, we actually came up with a solution and the business team was volunteering to help me to be part of the project. So then how do you make sure you don't fall into these three traps? And so the three guiding principles in the next slide. It starts way before day one. Speak to people who are smarter than you and more experienced than you for ideas, advice, and mentorship, especially those who have a strong network. It goes back to what I said earlier about not being afraid to ask for help. Another tip I have is go talk to agencies and get them to present their case studies. You will get a ton of inspiration and potentially a great partnership down the line. The second is, of course, know your baseline. This is essentially an auditing exercise. Really dig into the KPIs and the metrics. What's the baseline view of marketing by the business? What's the quality of the people and the traffic to our virtual events or landing pages? Who are our best customers? Who are they influenced by? What are their common objections? A tip I would give you is that when you do your onboarding, when you're meeting people, ask them, what advice do you have for me? Tell me, I'd like to know. You'd be quite surprised what people will tell you, and it will reveal a lot about how they view the organization and marketing's role in it as well. I think the hardest part of the job is pitching the destination. And if you have watched the show Shark Tank, it's a very popular show where people pitch their ideas for small business. And so it's really important that you see your stakeholders like a VC or investor and treat every regular catch-up like you're pitching an idea to them. You need to have a very strong belief and opinion. It may take more than one pitch. It may take a few iterations, but the outcome will be so much better. And then I'll go round to the three approaches that really frame my thinking around marketing. And I'll try to speed up here. get an influencer in order to influence. Who has heard the phrase, the medium is the message? I was taught that in university. If you have, type yes in the chat. I actually have a different view on that. Today, the same message can be repeated and plagiarized. I've seen competition use the same message. The cost of ads are going up in almost every channel. We're all using the same channels. So it really boils down to the influencers. And I believe the influencer is the message. And the creative work you produce together will be much more unique and impactful. The second approach is short-term and long-term. And I'll skip my story about it. I love telling stories. But essentially, you do need to have both activities, both in the short-term and long-term, because they feed into each other. And they actually boost your results both in the short-term and the long-term on a quarterly and even on a monthly basis. The third marketing approach that I would say you need to keep in mind for your game plan is spearfishing versus casting the net. This is very similar to my second point on short-term and long-term. You need a mix of activities that give you high-quality targeted decision makers and broad activities that give you reach. See them as complementary, not standalone, because you're not just investing in buyers today, you're investing in future buyers and those in their circle of influence. My last slide is the 180-day roadmap. So you say to me, Davinia, how do I bring it all together, right? This is really a simplified 180-day roadmap as an application example for you. It is not a magic formula, not a set model. It's really just to help you frame your thoughts and crystallize all the points I shared earlier. Now, the starting point for this is 60 days, because I'm assuming minus day one to 60 days, you've been following what I talked about earlier about the three guiding principles, the three traps to avoid, and developing your marketing game plan with the three approaches. And similarly at Backbase, we have this saying about having two-speed architecture to help banks in their digital transformation. And that's the same for marketing. You need two speeds because they feed it to each other. And as I mentioned, they boost your overall results. If I talk about quick wins, these are the always on. These are activities that you have bandwidth and resources to do consistently on a daily, weekly, monthly basis for a good 6 months or more. Essentially, what you're trying to do here is form habits. And what I've listed are just examples, but these are typically more achievable and require less budget. And then I move on to the wow factors. These are the ones I talked earlier about, long-term and casting the net, because these will make an impression in the example I shared earlier. One tip for you is that there's a general rule that a fast start to the first half of your financial year will determine how well you do in the second half and how your entire financial year will end, especially for sales. So for marketing, as much as you can, aim to deliver on the quick wins and the wow factors in the first half of the year so that you don't end up killing yourself in the second half and you can spend more time strategizing for next year and reviewing your lessons. And my last point, obviously, is you rarely will join an organization that has the perfect or ideal MarTech stack, talent pool, or agency resources. So you really need to start pitching very early for these as pilot projects or trials. And I guarantee you the question of scalability of your work is going to come up eventually. So I don't think I have a lot of time, but that's really my last slide. I know you guys are gently reminding me, and these are some of the three questions that I received in advance. What are the five things a new B2B marketer leadership obsess about in the first 6 months? There are many, but I'm just going to focus on the three, and that's the three traps I talked about. Focus on your game plan, obsess about it. Focus on delivering outcomes that matter to your direct manager, your sales and CEO, and always ask for help. If you can get these three things right, you will be in a good place. The second question that you guys asked earlier was, how has COVID-19 changed the role for B2B marketing leader? There are many names out there, you know, growth leader, revenue officer, market leader, whatever you call it. Nothing has changed. We are all still in the game of generating revenue and a profitable business. For me, marketing's role is clear. It is about customers, bringing in new ones, creating advocates from existing ones, and increasing how much they spend. That hasn't changed at all. And everyone believes intrinsically in marketing. Your management knows that, and that's the reason why they created a team and they hired you. It's really when sales suddenly realizes, oh shit, I'm not gonna meet my quota, and it's time to reach, you know, it's time to reach their targets, and they start panicking. And for whatever reason, they typically will say, marketing, you need to start spamming, you need to do more webinars like this. So it can be a good or a bad thing. And what COVID-19 has done is really shift marketing more and more into the realm of business development. I don't mean any disrespect to business development people out there. I used to be one myself. But if you think about it, the roles aren't too wildly different. I look at the total addressable market, my focus accounts, my serviceable accounts, my consulting partners and system integrators. Business development looks at that. I look at the ideal customer profile and the levers to have an engagement with them and conversation. How do I get them on board? Business development does that as well. You've also heard the term marketing source and marketing influence opportunities. So you're going to see greater pressure on you to deliver marketing sourced opportunities. Whether you like it or not, whether you think it's fair, it is a growing reality, and you need to think really creatively about how you're going to go about sourcing and hunting those leads or contacts like a business development person. The last question is, how do you succeed to your predecessor as a new B2B marketing leader if you're someone from outside the organization? To be honest, I don't really think about it, and I'm not trying to be arrogant or clueless, but I always see it as a fresh start and a clean slate every time I join a new organization or take on a new role. Because if you start comparing yourself to others, you will start feeling really shitty very soon, excuse me. And you're going to be missing the whole point of why they hired you. The company already took that leap of faith in bringing you into the organization. So it's really on you to have that strong belief in yourself and surround yourself with people who believe in you and will encourage you. It goes back to what I was saying earlier, that it starts before day one, finding mentors, finding people smarter and more experienced than you who can advise you. And for whatever reason, if it doesn't work out, see it as a stepping stone to your next adventure. So I've answered those questions. I've come to the end of my session, tried to race there to meet the timing. I hope you found this useful. We talked about the three common traps, the three guiding principles, the three marketing approaches, and the 180-day roadmap. I would encourage you to use it as an action item. Develop your own roadmap and start brainstorming how you and your teams can make an impact in the next 180 days.
Thanks, Lavinia. Thank you so much. We have a few more questions that I'll take up. Yeah. So, okay, let's see the questions that you haven't answered. So what are the steps to lead by defining result?
What was that question again?
So the question is, what are the steps to lead by defining, like if you want to define a result, what are the steps that you should lead by for the, as the first step as your marketing leader?
So what are the steps to lead by
for show results? For driving results,
For driving results. It goes back to what I was talking about, the baseline, because what gets measured, you've heard that term, what's getting measured gets done. Or matters, right? So you do need to know your baseline. And from there, you will then know what is the margin or the difference that you need to make to get to that destination that you're trying to pitch for. So I say, once you know what management cares about, what they measure, what sales cares about, and once you know how the market perceives you, how customers perceive you, Then you look at your 180-day roadmap, you remember the three guiding principles, you develop that game plan to make that difference after 6 months. Well, I hope that answers the question.
Next question that we have is, platforms like LinkedIn and Twitter are dominating the space for marketing leaders to educate their audiences with the storytelling and copywriting skills. What are the best practices and what will be the best time to start?
So for LinkedIn, for B2B, you know, that forms a majority of our leads. I don't think there is ever a good time to start. You just have to start somewhere, even if you're not clear. One thing I would say is try to learn from people smarter than you. It goes back to what I was saying. I highly recommend this podcast, which you probably know, Everybody Hates Marketers. By Louis, and he is fantastic and very tactical and very specific about the activities. But I would say that you need to read widely, because a lot of what I learn is really from, you know, reading around, following all these B2B marketers, and also just trying and practicing myself. I think as a leader, the tension and the struggle you're going to have is as you go into a leadership role, you're going to do less of the groundwork, and you may lose touch with the customers. So as much as possible, I think try to get your hands dirty once in a while and make sure you don't lose touch from the ground, because that is the value that you bring to the table.
All right, that totally makes sense. So the next question that we have is how to manage virtual teams and increase motivation.
I think that's really hard. I'm not going to lie that, you know, I've seen a lot of people talk about virtual drinks, virtual team meetups and standups. And, you know, it really doesn't replace the face-to-face interaction. And I think one of the things that we forget is that recognition really makes a difference for somebody. And so instead of always talking about, this is our dashboard, these are the results that we got to push hard, this is the performance, Davinia, what are you doing? You know, so-and-so, what are you doing? Okay, this is our stand-up meeting. I think we fail to make celebrations and recognize the work that people do, and even small things. So I think for every team meeting, you do need to recognize the work of everyone and call it out specifically, and people will then feel very motivated.
Right. Understood. So the next question is, I'm really interested in knowing the answer for this. How to align marketing and sales teams to work together?
Yeah, the sales and marketing handshake. I think I covered on that previously, and I was going to go through an example. I think for that, you do need to speak the lingo of sales, and you do need to have that sense of urgency that sales has. I've had the benefit of having done business development before, so the mindset is really different. You're constantly thinking of how to hunt and source for leads, even though technically that's just one aspect of marketing. But you do need to think and talk like a salesperson. You need to have that sense of urgency of helping them meet their quotas. There isn't a magic formula for that. I wish I could say that. But I think I gave one tip earlier, right? The first half of the year, your fast start determines how well you do for the second half and the full year. So if you have that mindset when you're talking to sales, your first half, you've got to be really strong in supporting them and having really strong activities. It helps you because then by mid-year or your mid-financial year, you can then, I wouldn't say take it easy, but you'd be able to spend more time thinking about the next year, because second half is really about preparing for the next year already. And you don't want to be killing yourself trying to pump out activities in the second half just to be able to help sales meet quota.
Thank you so much, Davinia. I think that was the last question from our end. Thank you so much for joining us today for the event, and hope to see you in the next editions as well.
Great. Thank you so much, guys. Take care.
Bye.
Hey, thank you for watching the recording. Do check us out at Ampus B2B Bench for more such killer content. Also, don't forget to go to www.amplus.com and book your free demo for Amplus Enterprise version to ring your next customer.